Hi, this is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com. Welcome to the Speaking of Sex podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by a very special guest, Dr. Danoff. Dr. Dudley Seth Danoff, MD, is a diplomat of the American Board of Urology, a fellow of the American College of Surgeons, and the author of The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, as well as the books Penis Power and Super Potency. So you can tell we're going to have some good fun today. Dr. Danoff is a graduate of Princeton University, summa cum laude, and Phi Beta Kappa. He received his medical degree at Yale University with honors. He completed his urologic surgical training and fellowship at Columbia University Presbyterian Medical Center in New York City. Following his training, he served as a major in the United States Air Medical Corps. For more than a quarter century, Dr. Danoff had taught on the clinical faculty of the UCLA School of Medicine. Currently, he is attending urologic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. He is the founder and president of the prestigious Cedars-Sinai Tower Urology Medical Group, the leading urologic practice serving the Southern California community for over 30 years. Whew! Dr. Danoff, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh boy, what a guy, huh?
You have seen many, many men in the length of your practice, and you've brought all of your wisdom to this new book, The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health. And in it, you say you've seen over 200,000 men, and your statement is that insecurity and uncertainty about sexual performance are the top problems for your patients. This is a huge statement. Can you lead us off by what brought you to make this statement that surprises a lot of people?
Well, just to put the term 200,000 in perspective, I often say I've seen more penises than can fill the Rose Bowl, which is a football stadium here in Los Angeles. Yeah, I think that what I see is a lot of penis insecurity. It's all about self-doubt. It's all about failure of self-image. And I think its underlying cause is the media. I think it's the internet. I think it's a glorified vision that ordinary men see either when they turn on the TV set or they browse the internet or they look at porn and see all of these glorified perfect images, enormously well-muscled men, handsome, extremely well-endowed, and then they look down and they see a bit of a paunch and they see something that they think is less than optimal, and it leads to self-doubt. And when it comes to male sexuality, self-doubt is like that, dog chasing his tail in ever-decreasing circles until he disappears up his you-know-what. So self-doubt and male sexuality, are like oil and water. They just don't mix. And that really prompted me to write this book. And I began to think about this problem perhaps 20 years ago. When a patient said, Dr. Danoff, you ought to write a book. And I said, well, I'm a busy urologic surgeon dealing mostly with prostate, bladder, and kidney cancers all day long. But, you're a good speaker and you're a good schmoozer. And then he held up a 3x5 card and the words penis power on it. And I said, wow, what a great idea for a book. And I wrote a book. Maybe 15 or 20 years ago, called Penis Power, and sold it to Warner Books. And when it came time to publish the book, they wouldn't put the word penis on the cover of the book. And I thought that was odd. This is a bit before the internet and before Howard Stern and before if your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, call everybody and you see that. So people have looked at this word and this organ and think of it in a pejorative manner, when in fact it's a body part. I mean, the penis to the urologist is what the stomach is to the gastroenterologist. So it's hidden There's a lot of mystery about it. I mean, you go to a strip club, you see naked women all over the place. You go to a male club, you never see a male's genitalia. You know, he takes off his shirt and he shakes his bottom, but you never see his genitalia. So all of that, maybe that's a long answer to a short question, but all of that, I think, has resulted in this, what I call a penis weakness or male insecurity. So that's kind of the basis of my point of view and what I talk about in a lot of the book. This is about self-image. You're as good as you think you are. Your penis is as reliable as you think it is. It's as big as you think it is. So, and we can take it from there.
Yeah, and the opposite concept that you present is this word superpotency. How do you define this word? What does it mean for men?
Superpotency is real about self-image. It's all about, you know, I'm great. I I'm as good as I can be. I have to laugh at my frailties. I have to be above the fray. It's all about self-confidence. That's what superpotency is about. The Lord gave a man an organ. There's no way to make it any bigger, wider, fatter. It is genetically determined. It is your apparatus. You've got to love it. And the power of positive thinking as applied to male sexuality is what superpotency means and what superpotency is all about.
Wow. And what happens to men when they overcome these insecurities and anxieties and start thinking more positively about their sexuality and their penis? Like, what effect does that have on the overall men's life and especially their sexuality?
Well, they become super potent. it's kind of a catch-all phrase, but it's all about self-confidence. It's all about, even LeBron James, makes a mistake or has the ball stolen from him. And he just, as a great player or as a great man or as a super potent man, you overcome it. You laugh at it. You move on to the next. We have a little expression in our house. We call it next. You know, we get angry, blah, blah, blah. We fail, blah, blah, blah. And then we say next. And we don't dwell on the failures of the past or things that are less than perfect. And I think that's what being self-confident is about. And that's what being super potent is about. And we frame it in many ways. We have cartoons. We have various life situations in which we describe what it is to be self-confident or super potent.
Yeah, so we hear from men all the time who are struggling with sexual performance. And when we get to it with them, so many of these problems are rooted in one incident of being embarrassed or shamed about, loss of an erection or an early ejaculation. And it might have happened 20 years ago and it's still haunting them. Why is this the case? Why do men latch on to these individual incidents and let it define their sexuality?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. So, the simple answer for a busy surgeon is get over it. I am not a psychiatrist and I am not a psychotherapist. Uh-huh. I'm a mainstream urologist. And that happens to all men. All men, all hours of the day and night, it happens to every man on earth. And you have to laugh at it and you have to say, look, it happened. Stuff happens, as we say, in the world. To get over it is the best is the best advice that I can give. Sexuality for a male, I often say, is 99% between your ears and 1% between the legs. And for most healthy men, I'm excluding older men or people with medical problems, comorbidities, diabetes, hypertension, obesity. Those things have to be dealt with medically. But for most men, it's all between the ears. It's the power of positive thinking. So I failed once, and I might fail again. Hey, everybody fails.
Right. And so do a lot of men come to your practice thinking that they have a health issue and it is revealed that it's between their ears, as you say?
Yeah, I would say the majority of men, you know, men are not very intuitive. I mean, men are not like women in many ways, but, you know, women are much more intuitive and men are much more visual. And if a man thinks he's having a problem sexually, you know, he doesn't want to say, gee, I'm a personal failure. That failure is between my ears. It must be something that the Lord, you know, did to my heart or my blood sugar or my my blood pressure. So, a lot of them come thinking it's medical. And one of the things that we do, I mean, when a man comes with ED or erectile dysfunction, you know, we take a good history, find out where, when, how. Is it on occasion? It is all the time. Do you get a morning erection? Do you have erections in the middle of the night? I mean, all men from little tiny babies to really old people who have everything intact, meaning the vascular system, the neurologic entity, the hormonal balance, will get an erection in the middle of the night because all the psychological factors are off. So if a man gets an erection in the middle of the night and fails to get an erection during the day, we know it's psychological. And then we do a complete battery of tests, including testosterone and hormone function, pituitary function, for diabetes, blood pressure, you know, chemical imbalance. So we really cover all the bases. We address, as urologists, those things which are non-psychological. The only thing that we can assure a man is that you are physically okay. Now, there are older men, you know, who are not getting good erections. We have certain medications for that. Obviously, the most popular of which are the Viagra, the Cialis. They're called PDE5 inhibitors, drugs of performance, not desire. We have a lot of helpers there. But we do try to rule out physical things which are easier to change than psychological things.
Yeah, and can you explain on the physical level how anxiety or self-doubt would prohibit an erection? What is that connection?
Well, there's a direct pipeline, there's a direct wire, there's a high tension wire that goes directly from the brain to the loins. I am not a psychiatrist. I cannot tell you what that is. I mean, certainly there are things which are physical, you know, the flight or fright. You know, when your heart beats faster and you're making a lot of epinephrine, I mean, when you're running from the beast that's trying to eat you, it constricts all of the peripheral blood flow and it concentrates on the muscles and the central body. And so that takes away from the blood flow to the penis. But the self-doubt part, I don't think there's an explanation. There's no medical explanation for it. The mind is a, you know, sexuality is so mental, it's hard for me as a urologist, the mainstream urologist, to explain that, other than to say it's the power of positive thinking, which has worked for me and has worked for many of my patients and, you know, thousands of them who have read the book said, gosh, I wish I read the book, you know, 20 years ago. It would have saved me a lot of anxiety and angst.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it always surprises us, but we still get so many emails from men that are worried that masturbation is going to kind of wear out their sexual system or deplete them. Can Never. You assure these men that masturbation is healthy and a good thing?
I'm going to quote you and say it's healthy and it's a good thing. There's no way that masturbation is harmful. You know, the penis is a very rugged organ. You can twist it, bang it, chop it. And if you did that to your little finger, you know, you'd be at the orthopedist and have your finger in a cast. So it's a very durable, hardy organ. Obviously, the most sensitive part of the penis, it's the skin. So other than that, the Lord does not dole out a finite number of orgasms in a lifetime. You know, to have an orgasm or satisfactory sexuality. I mean, your penis doesn't know if it's in a vagina or if it's in a mouth or if it's in your hand. Your penis doesn't know that. And that's just not the way it works. But you can't wear it out and it's not harmful.
Thank you. We're going to quote you on that because it's amazing how that myth persists over the years.
Yeah.
And in the book, you say, quote,
you know, there's a wonderful little joke about the little kid, you know, that's playing with himself, masturbating, and his grandmother comes and says to him, you know, will you stop doing that? You know, you're going to go blind. And he says, Grandma, can I just do it till I need glasses?
I love it. I love it. You say that the myth that size, length, and width matters is one of the cruelest hoaxes ever perpetuated on mankind. And this is reflected in so many anxieties of men. What has your experience with the myth of penis size been after seeing so many? Is there really, you know, such a huge range? Is this something men need to worry about?
Well, there certainly is a range, you know, and I think it's very analogous to breast size. You know, there are very few women with huge breasts. There are very few men with huge penises. There are probably more women with tiny breasts than there are with tiny penises. So most men fall into, you know, a sort of an average range. And with reference to that, you know, I said before that I've seen more penises that can fill the Rose Bowl, and I've seen a lot of women attached to those penises, your boyfriend, wife, lover, and never once in all my years of practice, Chris, have I ever had a woman come to me and said, can you make my man's penis longer, wider, fatter? But I have had them ask me, can you make it a little firmer and attach it to a sweeter guy? Yeah. Preferably, you know, with a Platinum American Express card. So look, there are a small number of people that are obsessed with size, just as there are a small number of men that are obsessed, you know, with breast size. But I do think it is a cruel hoax. And the saddest thing, I guess, is that there is no medical way that you can make a penis larger. That's called phalloplasty. Many men have tried, many surgeons have tried, there have been many kinds of graft material, but unlike a nose, a rhinoplasty, the penis is a very dynamic organ. You know, it goes from being, you know, 1 or 2 inches long to be, you know, 6, 7, or 8 inches long in an instant. So there's no kind of grafting material that you can put in the penis to make it longer or wider. The length, the width of your penis is genetically determined, and that's it. So if you would like a bigger penis, and I don't know a man in his, you know, in his right mind that quote wouldn't, you know, as they say in Brooklyn, forget about it.
And so what you can do is work on your mindset, on your sexual techniques, exactly, and on your overall fitness to make your penis work in an optimal level, right?
And when you think about it, I mean, basically, all the action is really up front. By far and away, the most sensitive part of a man's penis is the tip or the glands. Mm-hmm. And the most sensitive part of a woman, as best I understand women, is the clitoris. So it's right up in front. I'm still, after many years, I'm still searching for the G-spot. I haven't found it yet, but I'm sure it exists somewhere. So, you know, it's all the action, or the majority of the action, is really right up front.
And how does overall fitness and health affect penis performance?
Oh, I think it's 100% related. First of all, to be a good lover, you have to be physically fit. You have to have cardiovascular fitness. You have to have lower body strength. You have to have upper body strength. Your penis will look a lot longer and brighter to you if, when you look down, you don't see, you know, 4 inches of blubber, you know, the Dunlap syndrome, where your belly Dunlap over your belt. So, yeah, physical fitness is very, very important. And sexuality for men, and again, I can't speak for women, is physically demanding. So it's a good cardiovascular workout. You know, it's good, as I said, for upper body strength and lower body strength. You know, a healthy mind and a healthy body is going to lead to healthy sexuality. So physical fitness is absolutely essential for sexuality in my view, in my medical view, and in my personal view.
So is there anything you think men need to know to better take care of their prostates and prevent prostate cancer? Or is there just a point where they need to see a professional? Like, how do men best take care of this part of their body?
Well, prostate cancer is a very common illness in men. This year alone, Chris, there'll be over 240,000 cases of prostate cancer, which will be diagnosed in the United States alone. So it is a major health problem. There's no way you can prevent it, but the way you can treat it is by early diagnosis. So if we make the diagnosis early, we have a long list of medical treatments that will not affect potency or erections or ability to enjoy a full and productive sexual life. If it comes to surgery, we do it robotically with a Da Vinci robot, requires one day in the hospital. We use what we call a nerve-sparing and continence-sparing technique in which you're able to get an erection and not pee on your shoes. There are a large number of men that are in our active surveillance group. The prostate cancer is small. Many people would say it's not life-threatening, and we watch it and we treat it with medication or treat it with just by watching it and making sure it doesn't go anywhere. So there's a lot of treatment out there, but there's no way to really prevent it. It's very important that all men over 40, you know, get a digital rectal exam, a PSA, a prostate ultrasound as a screening device. If there's somebody in your family, meaning a male member, you are 30% more likely to have prostate cancer than someone in the normal population. If you're African American, also more common than if you're Caucasian. So there's a lot of things out there, but the most important thing, just as a woman goes for her mammogram or her pap smear yearly, every man over 40 should have his prostate checked.
Yeah, and I know there's so much shame about this part of the body, and there's all these jokes about the digital exam. How do we get men to take care of this part of their body? I know my own grandfather had prostate cancer for years and didn't tell anyone, including his own wife, because he was so ashamed of it.
Yeah, I think it's tragic. You know, every man wants to be a hero, you know, in the last quarter, in the last minute of the Super Bowl, you catch the one-hand pass. You know, men are macho, we're invincible, unlike a woman. A woman would never miss her pap smear or her mammogram, or very few women. You know, men, they're the breadwinner, they're the king of the jungle, you know, they're that, you know, that huge gorilla dragging that little child around in the zoo pond. And again, like I said earlier, you know, we've got to get over it. Or if there's a woman in a man's life, you know, a relative or related, you know, intimately, they've got to push their man and say, hey, you know, you've got to get in there and get checked. It is a little bit of an embarrassing exam if you do it gently and you do it with a little bit of humor. You know, I mean, I don't know how many times in my career I've said, you know, I know this is embarrassing, you know, and it's a little uncomfortable. I'll be gentle and, you know, it'll be over in a moment and this and that. So I've heard, you know, and it is embarrassing. I've heard more genital jokes, you know, probably than a stand-up comic, because every man goes into the urologist's office. It's awkward. Doc, have you heard this one? And, you know, of course I've heard it. I've heard it 20 times. But it is embarrassing. And again, you just have to get over it. But it is the nature of the beast. It is the nature of man.
And you motivate us by the idea that if you catch it early and get proper treatment, you might preserve your sexual functioning and have many, many more years of a healthy, happy sex life.
Yeah, I mean, if we have one takeaway message from this little segment on prostate cancer is, you know, get checked. Getting the diagnosis of prostate cancer is not, as they say in Italian, the bacia morte. It is not the kiss of death. It is treatable. The consequence of treatment are acceptable. The outcomes are excellent. There's very good stuff out there, but you know, you got to have the diagnosis made, and you have to have it made at an early stage when the disease is manageable, not, you know, not like your grandfather who swept it under the rug, and by the time he went to the doctor, it was too late, and I'm sure he suffered unnecessarily.
Yeah. What else do you want men to know about their sexual system that we haven't covered?
You know, you are as good as you think you are. Your penis is as reliable as you think it is. It's as big as you think it is. It's all about self-image. It's all about confidence. It's all about the power of positive thinking. And, you know, if I say that till the day I die and men listen, I think we'd see a lot of smiling faces, and I think we'd see a lot of smiling partners. And I think this goes for the gay community. I think it goes for the straight community. Male sexuality across the board is about the power of positive thinking.
Yeah, and your book really dispels a lot of myths and gives men the tools to get to that place where they can be more confident. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you. And thank you for that, the kind words, Chris.
And where can people find you to learn more?
Well, I'm on the web, the Ultimate Guide to Male Health. You can go to my website, The Ultimate Guide to Male Health. The book is available on Amazon, wherever books are sold. You can say hello to me if you're in Los Angeles. I'm at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. You can't miss it. It's a 1,000-bed teaching hospital on the border between West Hollywood and the famous Beverly Hills. So I'm out there.
Wonderful. And we will link that all up on the show notes page for this episode over at pleasuremechanics.com. Thank you so much for your time and your wisdom.
Chris, thank you so much for the interview.
Excellent.